Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to the 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT out of Denver. A Muslim named Sydney and I have a mutual friend, and our friend set up a time to talk for the two of us, one Christian and one Muslim, and we've never met, so I'd like to welcome Sydney from Chicago to Bob Benyart Live. Hello, Sydney.
Hello. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing real well. Thanks for agreeing to talk with us, Sydney.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
We haven't talked at all, and I'm wondering if perhaps we could talk about three things.
Yes.
First, I'd like to find out about you and your experience as a Muslim, and then see if you'd like to or not talk about Muslims these days as they're seen in the news headlines around the world. And then about Christianity and Islam and the difference in which one is true. What
yes.
do you think of those topics?
I love to talk about those topics.
All right. So could you tell us a few things about yourself, Sydney? How long have you been a Muslim?
I converted to Islam in 1996. I studied before then. I was born a Christian. And my parents both were Christians, and I studied the major religion. I read the Torah. For Judaism. I read the Mormons. I read their Bible, Jehovah Witness. I was reading their book, their translation, and I searched through all the religions. And in the end, Islam, has a better fit for me. So that's
okay.
why I choose to go to Islam.
Okay. That's a really great description to help us, me and the audience, understand. Maybe we have some middle ground on one thing you just mentioned regarding the Book of Mormon and the Mormons from Salt Lake City.
Correct.
So you read some of that.
Yes.
I don't know if you recall, Sydney, but in that book by Joseph Smith, as allegedly given to him by an angel,
correct.
They say that the American Indians are Semites, that they're descendants of the Jews. And that was a pretty wild historic claim. That's the primary historic claim
right.
of the Book of Mormon. And not only was it obvious to anthropologists around the world that American Indians were Hamitic and they were from the East, like the Orient. Not only was that obvious to them, but today with genetics and DNA, it is being shown conclusively that American Indians are not Semitic, they're not Jewish, they don't have the typical Jewish DNA markers, but they're from the East, the Far East.
Right. So, and that was one of the things that turned me away when they were speaking on those different things about Jesus coming to North America and stuff like that. That just really turned me off.
Yeah, and there's a continent, a couple continents filled with evidence here that disputes the claims in the Book of Mormon, like all the monetary units that they claimed that these civilizations in the Americas used, they were never found. You know, in the Bible, the Jewish and Christian Bible, when they speak of shekels, we find shekels still thousands of years later, buried, you know, in archaeological digs, because a shekel is a real unit. When they spoke of elephants and all the civilization that supposedly the descendants of the Jews built in America, we see there was no such civilization.
Correct.
And so we reject the Book of Mormon based on the evidence. So you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty cool. All right. So you converted in 1996. Have you considered making Hajj? Do you go to a mosque? Do you read the Quran in Arabic? How about some of those questions?
Yes, I need to make the Hajj in my lifetime. I haven't made it as of yet, but I need to make that in my lifetime.
So someday a pilgrimage to Mecca is something you would like to do?
Correct. All yeah, right. I would love to do that one day. That's one of our pillars of faith, that we should make that Hajj.
Mm-hmm. So do you go to a mosque?
Yes. I go to a mosque in Chicago, on the west side of Chicago.
All right.
And it's called Muhammad Mosque 2B.
How about the Quran? Do you read the Quran in English, in Arabic?
It's an English translation.
Mm-hmm.
I can't read Arabic because, like I said, I just converted not too long ago in 1996. I can do the prayer, most of the prayer in Arabic, but reading the Quran in Arabic, I can't do.
Yeah.
So I read an English translation.
Yeah, that's quite a challenge. I studied Greek for some years, beginning in the 1970s and then in the 80s, so that I could better read the New Testament, the Christian New Testament. As you know, the Hebrew Old Testament, as we call it, Christians, was the Jewish Old Testament was written in Hebrew,
right.
And the New Testament, written by the apostles, was written in Greek. And then, of course, the Quran was written in Arabic. So, okay, I think you're giving me a good idea of who you are, and I want to thank you for that, Sidney. So,
oh, you're welcome.
So could we then go forward to current events?
Yes.
So, Sidney, you converted to Islam 5 years before. You became a Muslim about 5 years before 9/11.
Correct.
Okay. Do you think that there's a major Muslim problem in the world today?
When you say Muslim problem, I don't think there's like a major Muslim problem per se. I just think always throughout history, whenever different religious groups exist, they always fight, you know.
Yeah.
The books say there always will be wars and rumors of wars. And that still is true today.
Well, let's say there are crusades where Christians are going and killing people because they want to take over land in the name of Christ. I would say that would be a Christian problem when Christian nations and Christian churches and leaders would support that, not stop that. I'd say that's a Christian problem. And any religion that has a lot of that going on, I'd say that that'd be a serious problem that religion has to address.
No, you can't. I don't look at it that way because God give us all the free will. So we can't say because the act of one person doing something and we classify everybody under that religious faith as the problem of everybody in that faith.
Well, what you just said is absolutely true. But to solve a problem, the first step is to recognize that there is a problem. And could I give you just a couple examples
mm-hmm.
of what I mean by a worldwide Muslim problem? Do you remember when Benedict XVI, the Catholic Pope, gave a speech in Germany? It was 5 years ago in Regensburg. And he quoted from an emperor from 600 years ago who said that Muslims tended to be violent. And then even though the Pope apologized, which is par for the course, Muslims around the world in violent protest complained that they were characterized as violent. If you recall, five churches were attacked by Muslims in one country who firebombed even Anglican and Greek Orthodox churches that were not even Roman Catholic. Muslims in London at Westminster Cathedral, 100 protesters shouted, "Jesus is the slave of Allah," and they had signs calling for the Pope to be executed. Out of Pakistan, the most active Islamic terrorist organization in Southeast Asia issued a fatwa asking Muslims to kill the Pope. So this is around the world. I guess that's why he apologized. But boy, they really made the Pope's point, don't you think, when they're complaining that they were characterized as violent and around the world, spontaneous violent protests break out in one country, a nun was killed.
Yeah. Now, the reason why I say everybody have a free will, look at our president. Look at our former president, George Bush. He attacked Iraq, a Muslim country, on a false pretense and saying that they had weapons of mass destruction. Now, they never had weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
The only thing they found was a man in a spider hole with $1 million. He took over an entire country. Name a Muslim in the last 20 to 30 to 40 years, take over a whole entire country based off of a lie and get our soldiers killed as well as killing innocent Muslims.
Well, Sydney,
there's no bigger terrorist than that.
Well, Sydney, I have a love for the people of Iraq, and I don't like George W. Bush.
Okay, we're on the same page, Teddy.
All right, well, Saddam Hussein had systematically slaughtered tens of thousands of Iraqi people. He was an immoral Western-type ruler of an Arab Muslim nation. And so if this was happening in France, and if the president of France in Paris was systematically killing tens of thousands of Frenchmen, I would want any country in the world to go in and get rid of that government. And since we've been there, when somebody's coming to a mosque or a marketplace with a bomb, the Iraqis run to the American soldiers, for safety. They don't run to the jihadists, because the jihadists have been targeting Muslims. And they've killed Muslims by the many thousands, intentional Muslim-on-Muslim bombings, jihad attacks, terrorism. And so I think you should say, you know what, the Muslim problem in the world is very evident in Iraq. And thank you for the American soldiers who've saved probably hundreds of thousands of lives of Iraqis from being killed by Muslim terrorists.
And you also have to go back further than that and look at Father Bush, who actually gave Saddam the weapons that he used on all those people.
Well, okay, you're making a good point, right? Iraq, Iraq and Iran, there was a fear that Iranian Muslim extremism was going to, that Iran was going to try to dominate the Arab world and become a Muslim, the leader of the Muslim nation. And so America, with a great lack of wisdom in our foreign policy, which is typical, they armed Saddam. Now, it's not true to say that we gave Saddam chemical weapons. That's not true. But we did arm and support Saddam.
I would agree with that. And that's why I just want to say that it always come back to God giving us an individual will to decide for ourselves.
I agree
and
completely.
We should never group, no matter if it's Christians, Muslims, or Jews, as the actions of one and all.
Oh, right. No, that's true. I agreed with that, Sydney. But if a Christian commits a heinous crime, it doesn't mean all Christians are guilty.
Correct.
But if you have all over the country Christians sneaking into mosques and killing Muslims, then there is a Christian problem. Then you can't say it's just an individual problem. It's a systemic problem. Remember the burning just recently, weeks ago, the burning of the Quran in Florida. It reminded the world of the Muslim problem. We had protests against this pastor in Florida who burned the Quran. And halfway around the world, you have, what is it, about 20 people now have been killed, beheaded. You've got violent protests, threats of violent protests around the world. And where is, did your imam condemn when Muslims kill people in revenge against protests or speeches?
Yes.
Does your imam condemn them?
Yes, he condemned that, and he say Islam, if you read the Quran, we do not supposed to attack anybody unless it's self-defense. That's what Islam teaches us.
Well,
and you remember when Muhammad Ali, back in the 60s, he refused to go to Vietnam because our religion say we do not attack no one unless they attack us first.
You know, well, let me ask you a question then, Sydney. Wherever Islam is in power, people say Islam is a peaceful religion. Islam is a religion of peace, moderate Muslims, moderate Islam. Where is it a religion of tolerance and peace where it's in power? Where in the world? Where? Because I don't know that.
I can say the same thing about Christianity. Where in the world where we put in God we trust on our dollar bill,
right?
And we got our hands on more murders and killers in the history. Look at the history of our country alone.
All right. Well, you know what? I agree.
There's no bigger killer than the United States.
I absolutely agree. Well, maybe there are bigger killers than the United States. I mean,
over
history. China, just in the last century, has slaughtered many tens of millions of their own people. The Soviet Union has slaughtered tens of millions of their own people, just outright slaughtered them. So, yeah.
Think about our history.
But wait a minute. But look at the difference. But look at the
slavery and everything.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. But look at the difference, Sydney. I admit it.
Mm-hmm.
I admit it. I don't think you're ready to admit it when Islamic country. Look at Saudi Arabia. Now, the capital of Islam in the world, if there is such a thing, the holiest sites are Mecca and Medina. Right? And we're told that Islam is a religion of tolerance and peace. Do you believe that?
I believe religion is. But the problem is, whenever you put money and greed in a man's hand and he get tempted by Satan, he's acting on his own free will.
Well, yeah, right. You keep saying things we both agree with.
Right.
Sydney, I know that. But
these are individuals with money.
All right. So the claim that Islam is a tolerant religion.
Right.
Now, Saudi Arabia, which is sort of like when you want to go to you want to make Hajj, you want to go to Saudi Arabia
mm-hmm.
in Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
How many synagogues are in the whole country of Saudi Arabia? How many churches are in Medina? Do you have any idea? How many churches are in the whole Muslim country of Saudi Arabia? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Zero.
I have no idea.
Zero. Not one, because when people say Islam is peaceful and tolerant, I ask where? Because when they're in power, Christians and Jews are persecuted, and in the holiest cities of Islam, there is freedom of religion is not allowed. You cannot build a house of worship if you are not a Muslim. And so do you think, you say Islam is tolerant, do you think Saudi Arabia should change their law and allow synagogues to be built in their cities?
I believe so. My own personal belief. Because my belief,
all right.
Belief and the Quran speaks that we need to, all religion, there's truth and good in all religion. And that's why we're supposed to study all books and all religion.
Well,
because as an individual, we got to find the truth for ourselves, because there's bad people out there.
Well, there's some religions.
Because of greed.
Sydney, there's some religions that I don't think we'd want to emulate.
All religion got some good. I don't care. Pick a religion that show me that there's zero good. Name one religion with zero good.
Well, sure. Adolf Hitler had kids having fun at his parties, and we got photographs of kids running around having fun playing games. But that's like a straw man to say there's some good.
There's some good.
What do they do? They provide water for people to go to the bathroom? That's not sufficient.
He didn't provide good for his people?
Huh?
He didn't provide good for his people?
No, I'm saying it doesn't matter. When there's something that is immoral and wicked, the incidental good that they do is not worth mentioning. I mean,
what sin is higher and better than another sin?
Oh, I could give you.
All sin is equal.
Well, that is such a tragedy. That's a cliche that's horrendous. Jesus said that some will be punished more severely than others. and that some have the greater sin. For example, if somebody takes a child and hurts the child, that is worse than the person, and then if he hurt himself. Jesus said, if you hurt a little one in me, that is way worse than if you hurt yourself. So it's not reasonable to say all sins are equal. God doesn't say that.
All I'm saying is only God is the judge of our sins. You and I can't judge a man's sins and his goods and against his bad. We're in no place to do that. We're not God. We got to let Judgment Day. Otherwise, we don't even need Judgment Day. You and I can sit up here and tell us who's good and who's bad. That's not our place to do.
Well, how about a child molester, somebody that kidnaps, like little Jessica Lunsford in Florida, was kidnapped by John Cooey out of her bedroom window. He raped her, tortured her, and buried her alive. He was eventually arrested and convicted. Mm-hmm. Now, do you condemn what he did and other men who do those kinds of things? Can you judge that was evil?
I would ask you and anybody else, which testament do you believe in? Do you believe in the Old Testament?
Wait, you just changed the topic.
Or the New Testament?
I believe in both.
No. Which one would you rule by?
Are you trying to avoid my question?
No, I'm answering it directly. Which one would you rule by? And that's how I give you the answer.
The New Testament.
The Old Testament say eye for an eye. The New Testament say turn the other cheek. Which one would you rule by?
Both.
No, you can't rule by both.
No, you can't rule by both. No, you can rule by both. Jesus upheld the death penalty. Jesus, the apostles, I could list you all the Bible books in the New Testament and all the authors who upheld the death penalty, saying that if you're guilty of a capital crime, you should surely be put to death. Jesus Christ in Matthew and Mark said that if you're guilty before the Mosaic law, you shall surely be put to death. Those are his words verbatim. You shall surely be put to death.
And what if he say he asked for forgiveness and he accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior?
Let's say someone steals a car and then they tell the judge, I'm a Christian. The judge should ignore that because God expects earthly judges to mete out earthly justice. Throughout the Bible, even in the New Testament, God says that there will be no mercy. There will be no mercy. But if you break the law and you're guilty and convicted of a capital crime, then you die by the law without mercy. That's in the New Testament book of Hebrews.
Now, see, I believe in the Old Testament, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Well, so do I.
That man should be put to death.
So do I, and so did Jesus. Well, yeah, and so did Jesus.
We agree.
Now, but I think did you intentionally not answer my question?
No, I agree he should be put to death.
Oh, no, that wasn't my question. You changed the topic, I think.
What's wrong with your question?
You said we cannot judge. So I described John Cooey, who kidnapped this little girl, Jessica mm-hmm. Lunsford, kidnapped her, raped her, tortured her, and buried her alive. Do you agree that all good people should condemn what he did as evil?
This is my belief. I believe a man that does something like that should be put to death.
Oh, okay. So you agree we should judge? Because you can't put him to death unless you judge that what he's done is wrong.
You don't
put to death your neighbor who gives you a glass of water, right?
But I can't judge to say that his sin should be put to heaven or hell.
Well, that's not the question. That's not the question. See, when you say we can't judge, you're talking about his heart. Jesus Christ said this in John 7:24. He said, judge with righteous judgment. And even in Matthew 7, where Christians who don't study the Bible well, where they think Jesus said, don't judge, he said, don't judge, you hypocrite, when you're committing the same sin. First, stop committing that sin. Then you can see clearly enough to judge your neighbor. That's what the Lord said. So have you been taught that Christians believe you can't judge anyone?
I never been taught that from my own reading and studying.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is when we go back to talk about Muslims as a whole, as a religion as a whole, and Christianity as a whole, that we can't take the book and say that all these groups of people are this or that, because those are all individual people. The word is the word, and each person have their own free will to act upon whatever the word
is. Okay, do you think it's possible that any religion in the world could have a problem where it's tolerating widespread murder of people by private citizens? Is that possible, theoretically?
Christianity has been tolerating it for years.
Okay, so you admit it's possible with Christians.
Yes.
Is it okay, now let me ask you this. Is it possible with Muslims?
Yes.
Okay, so we got somewhere in 20 minutes.
Yes.
All right, we made progress.
Because these are all free will.
So look,
these are men acting on their free will.
No, we know, we agreed with that. Please, hey, Sydney, we have a little bit more time. Could you not bring that up again? Because we agree with that.
Okay.
My last question was, is it possible that any religion in the world could have a systematic problem where the religion spreads and tolerates the murder of civilians? Is that possible? You said yes. Look at Christianity.
Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all does that today. They all do those things today.
Well, I don't know which Christian groups in America are bombing mosques or synagogues. There was a celebrity 2 weeks ago said...
One thing I forgot to tell you, I also was in the military. I also served in the United States military. That's how I paid for my college.
Well, thank you for your service.
And there were Christians in there that was bombing all this stuff, too.
What?
That's Christian soldiers bombing, doing the same things. That's
Sydney, we could relitigate Iraq, but we just talked through how Saddam Hussein, the Muslim leader of an Arab nation, was killing tens of thousands of Muslims.
Financed and backed with weapons by United States
of
America.
Yeah, we did the same thing with the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Yes.
The Mujahideen, because
correct,
we didn't want Russia to take over Afghanistan.
Correct.
Yeah, so right.
So now
we have a lack of wisdom. We have a lack of wisdom.
All these monsters?
Say what?
You just admitted we created all these monsters.
Well, I don't know that we created them, but we helped to fund. Right, we helped to make them stronger.
So America should be first cleaning up their own house.
Amen. Well, that's true.
We should clean up our own house.
But that's
first.
True. But you know what? Saddam Hussein, they had rape rooms. His sons,
they were heinous,
Queasy and
murderers.
Fumi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rapists. Yes.
Right. They were rapists, and they slaughtered
people.
Their political enemies who were Muslims.
Yes.
And
I agree with you
100%. So anywhere in the world where a government is slaughtering tens of thousands, you know, maybe 100,000 of its own people, I don't care who it is that goes in, but government should go in and stop it. Otherwise, you're apathetic and you don't care that Muslims are being killed. And here's why. I think that there are many in Islam who hated Bush more than they loved the Iraqi people. And they would rather the Iraqi people be slaughtered to the last child than Bush or America stop the slaughter. They'd rather it. Wouldn't you agree that they hated Bush more than they were concerned about the Iraqi Muslims being slaughtered? Stop the tape. Hi, this is Bob Enyard interrupting my own interview of Sydney from Chicago. We had this conversation today, April 20th, 2011, and it went a little long for today's radio broadcast. So we continued, and we will air the rest of this tomorrow in Colorado on AM 670 KLTT, and we will also put it online at kgov.com. But what's neat is at the end of our discussion, while the tape was still rolling, I asked Sydney if he would agree to come back on the show next week, same time, same station, so that we can talk about the question that really determines whether Islam is true or whether Christianity is true. and that is, did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? There are actually two questions. Either one determines which religion is true or false, and that is, who is Jesus Christ? If Jesus Christ is God, then Islam is false. Christianity is true. If Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then Islam is false. Christianity is true. The New Testament says if Christ did not rise from the dead, then, wow, look at that. Then Christianity, our faith, is in vain. Our faith is not valid. That's in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. So, of course, Christianity hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the evidence for that. And I want to invite you to check out our website, kgov.com. We have so many fun Bible study albums, DVDs that you can watch, get from us in the mail, Bible study downloads that you can listen to, entire albums, sermons, and we've got DVDs, topical videos, just a load of information to enjoy and to learn at kgov.com.